Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And we're going to have actually Mark chapter 8. And actually we're going to have two opening scripture because they go together. And I've entitled this New Life, New Priority from a Biblical Perspective. I don't usually have a name for something, particular one I did. And before we read these, I was thinking about, from our life perspective, think about all the things before we were saved that we had a passion for, things that we completely enjoyed, and then salvation happened. And what happened to all of those passions and longings and things that we desired at that time before Christ? What happened after he moved into the house and cleaned the temple? Just think about that as we go through these scriptures. House and cleaned the temple. Just think about that as we go through these scriptures. And Jesus said in verse Mark 8:36, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And some of us remember 9/11. When the planes hit the World Trade Towers. And the World Trade Center, that's exactly what it is. It's a center of world trade. And multitudes of trade stock and all that worked in that building, both of them. And yet in the moment, there were literally people jumping out to their deaths. And I was thinking about how easy it is to put all our priorities in busting our butts and working hard so we can store up money to retire on. I mean, that's generally a mindset of unsaved people. And then we get saved and suddenly those priorities change. The Spirit's in our lives and he shows us things that are more important from a spiritual perspective. I think one of the things that, to me personally, when I got saved, is all of a sudden I had a caring that other people heard what had happened to me. And I don't know if that happened with you too, but you just suddenly had a real concern about others that weren't yet saved. And then I understood why all these Christians jumped on me like a chicken on a bug. To try to get me saved. Because suddenly you start understanding from a different source, if you will. You start receiving from the Holy Spirit and not just our natural understanding. There's another depth of learning, another depth of receiving and understanding. And basically, when you think about what our priorities were before we were saved, they kind of dim after we get saved because it seems like the Holy Spirit imparts new priorities to us. Like Barbara was talking about, this is just an example, imparts new priorities to us. The Word of God becomes really important to us because B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. We finally got a Bible. Now it's a roadmap to life, and not just life, but life eternal. And the quality of life that we have now, how much more valuable that is than it is before we're saved. Our earthly life is most important to us before we're saved, because we're not yet spiritual beings made alive in our spirit by the Lord. And so we tend to think at that time in a more natural realm, because we're not able to understand the word until the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. So then we come to the apostle, and it's verses 7, 8, and 9. 8 and 9, so Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. I have this in the Living Bible to start with, and then we'll look at it in the Amplified. Or you may not be able to look at it, but you can hear it if you don't have it. And this is Paul reflecting on his life, but you can hear it if you don't have it. And this is Paul reflecting on his life before Christ and now aware of how radically and drastically his life was changed. But all those things, all these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing in order that I can have Christ and become one with him, no longer counting on being saved by me. As I thought then, these things once regarded as up the ladder of success, I have come to consider as loss, absolutely worthless for the sake of Christ and the purpose which he has given my life. But more than that, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, a joy unequaled. For his sake I have lost everything, and I consider it all garbage, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, believing and relying on him, not having any righteousness of my own, derived from my obedience to the law and its rituals, righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And when you go back and you see what Paul's life was like before his salvation, he was a lot like me. I didn't want to arrest my Christian friends that played in bands with me in Bellas Falls all those years ago. But I didn't want anything to do with them. I didn't want to play Christian music. I wasn't interested. I was interested in other things. But Paul was so knowledgeable of the law. He was a Pharisee. He didn't have the revelation yet of who Jesus. He didn't have the revelation yet of who Jesus is, and that it was Jesus was the one who fulfilled every requirement of the law, all 613 commandments. Jesus fulfilled the righteousness that the law required, but Paul didn't have that understanding. What he saw was keeping the law to become righteous, but nobody could. And yet for that time, that's where his life was at. He seemed to make no bones about taking Christians off and having them thrown in prison and beaten. In fact, he was standing at the death site of the first martyr, that's right, and stoning someone to death is really quite a process. I don't know when you read that in scriptures, but now that I've been to Middle East countries and I know how they do it, they dig a pit and they put you in it. Usually your hands are tied behind you so you can't fight off the stones, but you're buried up to your shoulders in sand. And then they start throwing stones, small ones, so that they can torture you with stones one at a time until you're almost unconscious. And then when the stones have just about done you in, someone has the joy of taking a big rock and just crushing your skull, and that's the end of the stoning process. And they did it to the people who loved Jesus. And that's what Paul was all about. He thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing the right thing because he thought Jesus was a mocker. He was an imitator. And those who followed him were of the same mindset. And so from his unsaved thinking, that's exactly what he thought. But as you well know, and you can read it in Acts chapter 8 and 9, you can read that in Paul's conversion and how radical it was. Suddenly, all that thinking was gone and his heart was changed. In an instant. He couldn't see, but he had a word with Jesus, and Jesus had a word with him. One of the first things Paul called him was Lord. And when you get saved, you now know who he is. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your Master. He's your power factor. And then Paul went on and wrote a lot of the New Covenant. And what he considered of his former life, the life of a Pharisee, the new believers that followed in Jesus, and all the frills that probably, he was probably very highly, spoke favorably of for what he was doing. And then he got saved. And then he became one of us. And do you know the very thing that he did to others began to come upon himself? Because you can't outdo what God has already done. There's spiritual laws. You're going to reap what you sow. We all are. Whether it's good or bad, and we did it, we're going to reap a fruit of that or a harvest from that. And so when you look at his life, he began to get persecuted the same way that he treated other Christians. He got thrown in prison. He got beaten. People threatened to kill him. The very thing that he did to others came upon him. But, you know, he had a whole different attitude. We're told in the scriptures, rejoice when people revile us and hate us and speak evil of us, because that brings glory to Jesus. Because that's what happened to him and all of his followers in the scriptures. Why should we think we're any better? But yet we tend to draw back, we tend to shun back, and our feelings get hurt if somebody doesn't treat us favorably. But Paul was willing to give up everything for the sake of the gospel. And that's what I mean about priorities change. New life, new priorities. And so my question, when I started out with, if you look at your life, change, new life, new priorities. And so my question, when I started, if you look at your life, what things changed with you? What things were important to you before you got saved? Have you ever reflected on how not only your values have changed, but have your priorities changed? Have you considered the things that you did before Christ to be of little value compared to now, how God's Spirit dwells in you and all the beautiful things that he does in you and allows you the privilege of doing things for him? And the difference, it's a wonderful portion of Scripture to think about, and it will keep us encouraged in allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt us and like it, and sometimes maybe you won't feel like it. But you do right because it's the right thing to do and rewards righteousness. It's not to gain his favor. We already have that. And it's not our works that gain his favor. It was Christ's work on the cross. And that's the work that pleased the Father. But now, because we have his Spirit in us, the things that we do now are for a greater purpose. They're for a greater gain for the kingdom of God. And so, I played drums for many years. But I played rock and roll devil music, devil stomping, shouting, drinking, drug music. Andy, you remember those days? Not to put you on the spot, but you know, with Charlie and all the other people that we knew in Sass's River and Bellas Falls. And when I got saved, I just didn't want any more playing drums. And I went on I just quit for 8 years. I asked God to remove from my remembrance all those old rock and roll beats that I used to play, because they were just still in my head from all of those years. And faith came to a lot of the places where we used to play. Her brother was in several bands I was in. And at the time, we thought, this is really wonderful. Boy, people are happy, and they're dancing, and they're jumping, and they're shouting, and throwing their clothes off, and doing all kinds of wild behavior, because that music inspired them to respond to it. Drum and bugle corps, and I had a snare drum hanging around my neck, and a 100 general was retiring. And that was my first lessons about playing, and that carried through many years. And to give it up, it wasn't even hard to. I wanted to, but that was a passion of mine. I played in a band in England, and I tried to get discharged from the Air Force and stay in Germany so I could hop over to England and join a band where their drummer had got married and he left the group. And I had a passport so I could stay there. So those were things that I was very passionate about. And then salvation came, and I didn't want anything more to do with that. It was the strangest thing. And so for 8 years, and then when we became available for us to use as a meeting house, and we took in a family of four the same day that we moved into the building, and their daughter had a set of drums, and she went in the army. And she wanted a place to store her drums, so she asked if she could leave them here, in that corner. Those aren't hers, but hers was here. And they were just sitting there. They weren't set up. They were just stacked in the corner. And for a couple of years, I just looked at them and they just didn't do anything for me. And then she came home on leave, and she said, Are you playing those drums yet? And I said, no, those were yours. And she says, well, I couldn't take them. Are you playing those drums yet? And I said, no, those were yours. And she says, well, with me, I left them there for you. And I started all over. Everything brand new. I'm still learning things I never thought I could. Because all of those old drum beats, all of the stuff that went with it, God honored that. And stripped them out of my memory, because our son wanted me to teach him how to play. So he comes down here. He was just a little kid. And I had set her drums up, and I just sat there and I said, I don't know any of those beats anymore. I can't teach him. I said, I'm sorry, Jeremiah. I don't know how to play anymore. And it was really true. It was like I had a stroke. Didn't remember anything. I mean, I didn't have a stroke. My passion is, I don't just want to play them. I want to use them as an instrument of worship, And so the motive has changed. The heart set has all changed. I can't wait till we get here, long before you do, to go through the song list. Because we get to do them two or three times before you come. And then we get to do them after you're here. And to me now, and I'm using those as an example of something that I was very passionate about, and they were a big part of my life. And then I got saved, and suddenly they weren't. And I just use that as, I mean, there may have been something that you had a passion for. And then after you get saved, have a different priority. Something new that God brought into your life, a passion for. And then after you get saved, have a different priority. Something new that God brought into your life that you're very passionate about. And then you see the various gifts and skills and talents in the body of Christ. And we studied a lot of those downstairs for months during the winter. And how he's given all of us something brand new that we didn't have before. Or we might have had a talent or a skill, but we didn't know it was him that gave it to us. And so we went around with big heads and boasted of all our good gifts that we had. And then we get saved and find out, yeah, who's the giver of the gift? He's the gift. And now how he chooses to manifest, that's what they are, manifest. I like the Living Bible. I don't read that one often, but I like it real with how it's written. It's like it would be like what we would say. But all these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. And that's become our new priority. It's living for him now. And we're still in our earth suits. And we still have a flesh part of us that has feelings and emotions, the five physical senses, but we don't have to bow down and be controlled by them anymore. We're set free, and we're free in Christ. We still have all of those feelings and emotions, but the beauty of it is those aren't our passion anymore. We don't have to passion anymore. We don't have to bow our knee to them. They don't have to control us. I've been around Vermont a lot and been on farms and seen how some farmers, they'll put this great big iron ring through a bull's nose, and everywhere they go, that bull will follow. And somehow I got this picture like that's how powerful our flesh is. We still have our flesh. I call it an earth suit because y'all can relate to that. And it's like being pulled by that bull ring, your feelings, your emotions, your passions. It's like the farmer taking that bull and just pulling you everywhere it wants you to go. But we don't have to now. The Holy Spirit is the one. We're not dragged, and we're not and just pulling you everywhere it wants you to go. But we don't do to go. But we don't have to now. The Holy Spirit is the one. We're not dragged and we're not driven. We're led by the Spirit. And there's a big difference from being driven than being led. And so now we have a new boss, and our mind don't like it. Our mind always thought we were little gods. And suddenly a new boss moved in, and the mind doesn't like the Spirit. And Paul had issues with that too. You can read about that in Romans chapter 7. He said, the very thing I wanted to do, I don't, and the thing I shouldn't do, I did. Because there's a battle. But all of this, our new life and new priorities. So don't resist all of this, our new life and new priorities. So don't, when he's moving you or nudging you, because the fruit of that is going to be more wonderful than anything that we ever had before we were saved.